would, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, when we look at that text, there are several items, if I were to take this text and just make it bullet points, I would say, first of all, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That'd be the first bullet point. Behold what manner of love. Behold the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Think about that. Think about that love. I mean, if you don't ever think about the type of love and the manner of love that God has bestowed upon you, that you should be called a son of God. The reality of that statement, I think we miss so often. And I've said it before, and I know you've heard it before, but I hope that just because you've heard it before, it won't just fall on deaf ears. But God could have saved us without adopting us. God could have saved us without adopting us. What necessity? Show me a passage in the scripture that would require the necessity of God not just redeeming men from their sins, not just forgiving their sins, but as it says in the book of 1 Peter, making us partakers of the divine nature. And making us his children. Show me a passage in the Bible that says that this was a necessity, that God had to do it this way. There are holy angels that are ministering spirits sent forth to be heirs, to minister to them that are the heirs of salvation. Where does it say that in order for God to redeem us, he would have to make us joint heirs with Jesus Christ? And yet that's what the Bible tells us we are when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And when did you lose the wonder of that? Or have you ever known that wonder? I think sometimes it'd be good for us to just become like little children and just wonder at things. You ever seen little children wonder at things? I was out to the side there. I didn't call the children out. I thought about it, but I didn't call them out because we were short on time and everything like that. But I thought about calling the children outside, because there was a little armadillo, wasn't quite a baby, and it wasn't quite a full adult armadillo, about that big. And it was out there digging around. I walked up, and I walked about 5 feet from it. Just walked slow, walked up, got about 5 feet before it noticed I was there. Armadillos don't see good. They smell good, but they, you know, they can smell, but they don't necessarily smell good. But they can smell very well. And so until he smelt me, he didn't pay much attention to me. But I thought about calling the kids out there, because I know exactly what the kids would do. They would see an armadillo, and they would say, "Oh, wow, look, it's an armadillo." And they'd say, "Can we catch it?" That'd be the next thing they'd say, wouldn't it? "Can we catch it? Can we play with it? Can we hold it?" But it, at least they would find some joy in seeing an armadillo. You know, unless, you know, there's some kids that are a little squeamish sometimes, and they see something, they get scared because they think it's going to eat them. Just memory as a father on Father's Day, I remember one time we were driving along 613 over there, just before, between Piggly Wiggly and Cheapo Depot over there, and we were driving on 613, and that you got that little bayou that comes through there, and there was a beaver on the road. And my oldest girl, Ashley, she saw the beaver, and she screamed bloody murder. It was like, "What's going on?" It's like, I don't know, she thought it was going to get in the car and eat her, I guess. I don't know what it was, but she saw that beaver, and she screamed. So, you know, sometimes kids get afraid of things, but most of the times kids, when they see something, they just wonder at it. They wonder at it. They get excited. Makes them happy. "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And then he says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now that's a pretty telling statement. The world does not understand. The world does not really know you. As much as you want to be known by the world, and as much as people want to be accepted by the world, you will never be truly accepted by the world if you're a child of God. It is an absolute deal, because they don't know you. And the devil's going to make sure they push and push and push till you either stand or compromise. And that's just a fact. That's the way the world is. Every one of us has had to deal with the world and the demands of the world, and the demands that they either stand or compromise. And if you stand, it will lead to persecution, small or large. And if you compromise, it will lead to derision and persecution. It'll lead to contempt. You can't win in the world's estimation. So I don't know why we'd be wanting the world's approval, but so often people do. And it says, then it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now. This is not something to come. This is what we are now. If you're a child of God, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, now are we the sons of God. The time to show obedience to the Father is now. The time to behave yourself as a child of God is now, not later. The time to do those things that are pleasing in His sight is not when you get to heaven, it's now. Now you're sons of God. It says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So even though we don't appear in any way to be worthy or in any way indicative of being a child of God on the outside. We're supposed to live and regard ourselves as the children of God regardless of that. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of our weaknesses, regardless of our fears and failures and all those things, if we put our faith and trust in Christ genuinely, we are genuinely now the sons of God, we're the children of God, so therefore, and even though it doesn't appear, yet appear what we shall be, we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So we know there's a change coming. We know, but now are we the sons of God. And so we have something to look forward to, yes, but our responsibility as children of God is now. Our responsibility is now. And then thirdly, fourthly, in verse 3 he says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Every man that hath this hope, every person, if you will, that has this hope inside him, this hope of what? Being like him. This hope of what the book of Romans talks about, the whole creation waiteth and travaileth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Every person that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. In other words, we should be seeking to emulate our Heavenly Father. Amen. One of the most shameful things for any father is when the children want to emulate someone who isn't their father. And one of the most disappointing things for any father is when the children want to emulate somebody who isn't their father. I'm talking earthly fathers. We all want to be, even though in the moment we many times don't exercise our sense because we don't think in terms of what's best for our children all the time. We fail in that regard and we get selfish, and many times we do things we ought not to do. And our children see them. I mean, I can remember many things that my father did that I want, that I have and have chosen to emulate. But there are many things that I was ashamed of my father doing. And I didn't want to be like him. I wanted to be different. I can understand we may have those type of ideas, but the simple fact is that any father wants their children, if they're going to emulate anything, and fathers want their children to emulate them. If they're right, they want their children to emulate the very best of them, not the worst of them. I mean, you see it. It's, you know, my dad smoked all his life, but he didn't want me to smoke. He didn't want me to emulate that. He didn't want me to pick that up. You know, later in life, when I personally started using tobacco, even though I didn't smoke, but I used tobacco. Even when I did that, he wasn't really happy about it, but he knew it was, you know, I got to the point it was my choice, but he wasn't really happy about it. I did emulate him in that way, But after I got saved, I began to emulate my Heavenly Father in that way and gave it up because it was no good for me. And it's not just tobacco. It's not just addicting things and things like that. It's talking about your character and everything like that, and the reality of and the truth of everything that we look at the Word of God and we look at this says that that people that have this hope, they purify themselves even as He is pure. In other words, that is what we ought to be doing. That is what we want to be. We ought to be, want to be like our Heavenly Father. Right? Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven, right? Be ye holy, even as I am holy. If you go over to the book of Philippians for a minute, the passage I'm looking for here, but he tells us that, he says in chapter 2 verse 13, verse 14, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, that we might be the sons of God without rebuke. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, that he is pure. I tell you what, you know, we celebrate Father's Day, and I'm glad we do. It's not a bad thing to celebrate fathers. God created fathers. God made it possible for men to be fathers, just as He made it possible for women to be mothers. By the way, I will say this to you. Fatherhood and motherhood starts at conception. So just in case there's any, but it had any doubt at all, I just want to let you know that. I saw that because I saw an article where a woman had written that motherhood begins at conception, and I don't have any argument with that, but she never mentioned anything about fathers. Kind of bothered me that she kind of took the position that it was all on the mama, that the daddy didn't have anything to do with it. And, you know, So that's half the abortionist argument, that it's all mama and daddy has nothing to do with it. So I don't like that argument. If you're going to talk about mamas, you got to talk about daddies too, when it comes to the being the parents of children. The father doesn't become the parent when the child is born. He becomes the parent when the child is conceived, just like the mother does. So here's the reality of that, but we ought to, if we're going to celebrate a Father's Day, what could be more natural than honoring our Heavenly Father? And even more so because we didn't become His children by some act of biology. There are a lot of children that are born by accident. My own father told me one day, and I guess he was trying to be joking and everything like that, and I was a bit older when he said it, so I didn't take it to heart, but it did kind of sting a bit. We were just talking and everything like that, and he said, well, you were an accident. Didn't mean he didn't love me, just means he didn't plan on having me. Kind of made me feel like he really didn't want me. and I understand better. I know that you can have a child unintentionally. Children are conceived. They weren't planned or anything like that, and they're still loved, and I understand all that. But when I first heard it, it kind of stung a little bit. Had to reason it out a little bit for me. And sometimes people are like that. Sometimes there are people who literally don't want the child and wish they'd never been born. I've known men upset about being, and I've known women, by the way, but since we're talking about fathers, I've known men upset about being tied down and having the burden of a child. And the common sense answer to that is, if you didn't want children, you shouldn't engage in the activity that produces children. That's just common sense. I understand it. I've talked to such men. But with God, it's different, isn't it? God chose to call you His child. So I say again, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Take a look at that love. That's what that word behold means, doesn't it? It means look at it. To behold it. Take a look at it. I'm just praying you'll take a hard, long look at the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. And realize that He didn't have to. He chose to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us to not lose the wonder of being called Your child. Help us to desire to know the truth of Your word more and more, to be more like You in all things. Lord, help us. Purify ourselves, even as You're pure. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.